is the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I'm your host, Martha Riley. I'm a TEDx speaker, cheese pizza lover, and master human connector. I help introverts, people with social anxiety, and awkward humans of the world find confidence, connection, and their cool factor. Because have you ever been to a party and someone asked you a question that you didn't know the answer to? Yeah, me too. It fucking sucks. But that's where I come in. I'm asking the questions so you'll have the answers. So sit back, relax, because there's shit we need to know. Hello and welcome to the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I am sitting inside on a beautiful Sunday in Minnesota, and I think it's funny because I texted my boyfriend and I was like, oh, hey, it's really nice weather today. And he's like, yep, I'm in bed. And I was like, oh, okay, I know why we're dating now. It's because we both prefer to stay inside. We're definitely indoor cats. So that's my question. Are you like me? Do you prefer to stay inside when it gets above 85 and you'd rather not sweat through all your clothes? Or are you someone who likes to hike on the weekends and will go outside no matter what? And I know some of you live in Minnesota and you're going to be like, Martha, Minnesota is only nice X amount of months per year. And I agree with you. I know it is not that nice during the winter. I've lived here my whole life. That doesn't mean I want to go outside. And you can't make me. So there's that. On today's podcast episode, I have a friend of mine. Her name is Lauren, and I met her in the Minneapolis Mastermind that I did. I don't know if I've talked about that for quite some time, but it was a group of women, and we met together four times throughout 4 months, and it was sort of like a cohort of entrepreneurs in the cities. So we worked on our business ideas, anything that we were, you know, doubting in ourselves. And it was really fun. I met a lot of great people there. And Lauren was one of them. So I was like, when I joined, basically, I didn't realize how good it would be to have all these women talk about everything that they know on the podcast, because it was just like a gold mine of interview subjects. So it was awesome. But I'm so happy to have Lauren here today. And Lauren is the founder of Created Future Academy. So she worked for a major oil company for 5 years after graduating with an advertising and sales degree. And basically felt that her soul was crushed by corporate America. And I relate so hard, so much, in so many different ways with that statement, because as you guys know, I like to think I'm a pretty creative person, but sitting in a cube day after day and not really getting to use those creative juices, or if you do use them, they are shut down, or like other people don't really understand what you're trying to do. It's just really frustrating day after day. So Lauren has done what I haven't, and she basically quit her job to start a company that teaches other people how to quit their job and start an online business. So in this interview, we talk a lot about her feelings about working in corporate America, what, you know, how that led her to start her own company, and what she wishes for any other online entrepreneurs looking to get in the space. Lauren is great to talk to. And this interview is actually kind of old because she mentions her boyfriend, who is actually now her fiance. So I've known Lauren for, gosh, I don't know, 6 months now. And it's just been so fun to see her really grow her business. And I hope you guys feel as inspired as I did listening to this interview. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll inspire you to quit your job and start a business. And if it does, I'd love to hear that. I'd love to hear any stories that you have about taking one thing that you absolutely didn't like, corporate America or any other type of job, and doing something new that you love. Because that's, you know, that's the American dream, right? Like starting something that you love, helping people, being passionate about that, and going forward and just living your best life, really. I mean, like, that's what I want to do. That's what I'm trying to do. But it's the money, you guys. The money keeps me there. But y'all don't need to hear me talk about how much debt I'm in anymore. So without further ado, take it away.
I'm a business coach, but I also believe that knowing more about yourself helps you build a better and more aligned business. So that is what I do with my clients. I used to be in corporate America, just in oil and gas, working those 40 plus hour weeks in a open concept cube. And now I help women leave those types of situations and do that through a group programs and retreats all over the world.
So when you talk about, you know, learning more about yourself, what are you referring to? Like, what parts of ourselves do we need to learn more about that we, you know, maybe don't if we're trying to quit our job? Because I think people have like this untapped potential. Like, I feel like a lot of people can start a business, but they feel like a little bit too scared because they don't know how to or what's going to come out of it. So what are like the things that we don't know about ourselves that we should start learning?
Totally. I 100% agree with that statement. And I think that the things that you want to learn about yourself that maybe that you haven't yet really kind of go about like into your strengths, right? So when we're in school and when we're in corporate America, we have this very underlying culture, especially in the US, of like, okay, I'm not good at this thing and I'm really good at this other thing, but we are taught to spend more time filling in our gaps or working on the things that we're not so great at to get up to like par versus, hey, I'm really good at this other thing and I should spend more time kind of investigating that and getting even better because that's like a natural inclination for you. So when I say learn about yourself, I mean, I remember being in corporate a couple years in and thinking, I don't even know, like someone asked me what I wanted like for my next role and I could answer them, but then they asked me what I wanted for my life and I couldn't answer that question. Like I was so conditioned, like on the regular basis, daily, going in, like checking basically my personality at the door and becoming who corporate needed me to be, that I didn't even really know who I was anymore. Like I kind of forgot like what made me me, and I felt like kind of like a cog in a corporate wheel, which sounds super dramatic. But that was the feeling that I had being in corporate. So when I'm saying learn a little bit more about yourself, it's digging in deep and saying, okay, what do I want? What am I good at? And is there a business to be created out of this? And so that's kind of what I mean by that.
I don't think being a cog in a corporate wheel is dramatic at all because that's what I feel like every day. And I'm always nervous that someone that I work with is going to listen to this and call me out on it, but I don't think they do. So I think we're safe. But
for now.
Right. We'll see. I love that you were like, okay, I checked my personality at the door. What were some of the steps you took to sort of like get that personality back and, you know, feel more comfortable in your skin and feel really true to yourself?
Yeah, I think it, for everyone, it's a little bit different. But for me, to get more back to myself, it was really doing that. And I know this is probably so common to hear, but like that inner work, like, who am I? What do I want? Because I had noticed like my personality was kind of falling away. So for example, just kind of a really reflective example of this is I have ideas like every freaking day of my life. It's one of the things that I absolutely love. I get inspired by things. And a couple of years into my role, I noticed that my ideas notebook, which I used to fill in every single day with like multiple ideas for either businesses or inventions or like, you know, something that Sally should read. I don't even have a friend named Sally, but that's just like, you know, the basic word to use. Like those ideas that I would fill in my notebook every day, like I stopped having ideas. Like I stopped thinking the way that I used to think. And so for me, it was really around, okay, what did I like about that? Well, I loved being inspired. I loved creating ideas. And so I would think, okay, if the end goal is to get back to inspiration, what inspires me? And so then I started watching like Shark Tank because that was like kind of a temporary band-aid, right? To be like, okay, this will get me back to like thinking like that. Like I love thinking about business ideas and writing those down. And so Shark Tank would help me do that. So that's just like a really kind of tangible example of not really feeling like myself, finding a way an or an avenue or a channel to get back to who I was in the meantime while I was still at my corporate job. So long term, I left my corporate role, and that's really, honestly, I had this probably year-long deconditioning process, and I don't even think it's over for me yet, to be honest, of coming out of corporate and really figuring out like who I am without all those labels of I am, you know, my name's Lauren, I work at insert company doing whatever the role is. Like, it takes so long to kind of deprogram yourself from being that person.
When you said that, oh, I didn't come up with any ideas, I was like, oh my God, like that is not you. I mean, like, I know you better than, you know, many of the listeners know you, but I was like, Lauren with no ideas?
I
like,
literally had no ideas. It was so weird. Like I would come home, like I was numb. I was not fulfilling. I was so unfulfilled. Like, I know unfulfilled is a really common thing to say. I know that numb is, it seems dramatic. I'm aware of all of this, but now that I'm living on the other side of the life that I was living, I see it for what it was. Like, it was bad.
How can people, you know, because you're right, I don't think numb is a, like, many people have this feeling of being numb and just being tired and feeling drained. So if people, you know, feel that work is doing that to them, what are some of the steps they can take to leave their job and maybe like find happiness again?
Yeah. So I don't think for everyone it's leaving their job. I mean, maybe it's just leaving your role, right? Like, I'm not someone to say, okay, every single person that's upset or hates their job or whatever that looks like should quit right now and go and start up a business, because we live in the real world, right? So we have bills to pay, we have student loans, we have whatever that financial commitment is. And yes, you can build a business and make money quickly, but it's not like you don't want to put all of that pressure on your new baby business and then crush it. So I think that there's a lot of different ways to look at this. So if building a business has been something that has always been on your mind, but you're not really sure what that looks like for you, you're maybe not sure how to get started, you're maybe not even sure what you're good at to start that business in, I want you to start by taking, like, making two lists. And this is a really helpful exercise that I do with my clients. And it's, one list is your default future. And I just want to make it, like, really clear about the path that you're going down, because the tendency for us when we're comfortable is to stay doing the thing that we're doing because it's comfortable. So yes, you're making six figures, or yes, you're, you know, you get 2 to 3 weeks of vacation and you have insurance and all of this stuff. And that's, like, very comfortable. But what does your default future look like if you stay where you are? Do you get that next promotion? Okay, now you're managing people, and now you have this whole other element of management to deal with. And then you, like, what does that next progression of your career look like? And at the end of it, is that somewhere you even want to be? Because that's the default. That's if you don't do anything. And then I want you to get really clear on what is your created future look like? What future can you create for yourself that you're excited by, that you're like, holy shit, this lights me up. I can't wait to get started. I can't wait to wake up and do this. Like, I don't necessarily know how to get started or how to do this thing, but the concept alone is enough to make me be like, hell yes, and light a fire under my ass. Like, that's your created future. Like, that's a possibility for you. And for some people, that's a business. For other people, maybe it's, like, you know, switching companies. So maybe you're at a large company and now, and you want to go to a small company, or maybe that's going back to school and getting your MBA, whatever that is that lights you up, that drives you. That's the thing that you want to kind of switch from your default to your created future, and look at what that looks like when you play it out. Like, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, will you like the person that you've become when you go down each of those paths? And I think that that's a really empowered place to make a decision from, versus, like, waking up every day, going into work, doing the thing you're going to do, and then being like, oh yeah, I really wanted to start a business, but today I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think it's super important to reiterate that everyone has different dreams. So, like, for example, let's say, right, your friend Sally, let's say she wanted, well, not real friend, but you know what I mean. Let's say she wanted to become a millionaire and she would do nothing to stop. She would, like, say she was in sales or something. She would, you know, sell. She was a powerhouse in the corporate world, and that was what she wanted to do. But then you take people like me and you, for example, like I would love to make money. I'm not making money off of this podcast currently, but I'm really doing it because like I love talking to people. I love teaching people. I love helping them learn. So I think it's important to remember that like everyone will have different ways of answering your to list questions. And that's totally okay. That's like,
yes, that's what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Please don't start a business if you don't want to, because there's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of like, you have to be really like in it, right? Every single day. Even Martha, with your podcast, I'm sure you feel this way. Like if you don't absolutely love it, you're not going to hang on for the long haul. So, you know, that's not the option for you. And that's okay. That's good. Like we need doctors to cure cancer and we need lawyers to, you know, fight crime. That's police officers, but you know what I'm saying? Like we need people to want to do the things that they want to do. And people have different dreams for a reason.
Yes. And I think the underlying message is like, do what you want to do. Don't really care what anyone else is doing, because what they're doing is not what you want to be doing anyways. So I think I definitely can get caught up on that. Like, I'm like, When I was starting out in like my entrepreneurship grind world type thing, I really wanted to be a life coach. And I wanted to be a life coach because people told me that I would be good at being a life coach. I'm like, sick, I'm a life coach now. But I'm simplifying greatly, but
I know.
There was it just didn't feel right to me. And so that's when I finally was like, all right, I'm just going to stop. I'm going to do my own thing and something else will happen. And that's where the podcast sort of swooped in. I'm like, oh, I don't really like have to teach people things. I can just find people to teach me for you. Like that's, you know, these people know the things, I can bring them on. I don't have to know everything. And that makes my life so much easier.
Right. And if you were so busy holding on to that decision to become a life coach, that you didn't see this opportunity come to you, like this wouldn't exist.
Yeah. And that would be sad. I mean, I think people like it. So.
Exactly.
Okay. So at this part of the show, I didn't do this last time we interviewed, but it's like three fun questions that I ask. They're kind of unrelated, but they just sort of put you on the spot. And we usually have really great discussion around it. So the first question is, what is the most awkward or embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you?
Oh my gosh. Okay, actually, I have a recent example. So this is probably not the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me, but the most recently embarrassing thing is on Saturday, my boyfriend and I were scootering on a Lime or a Bird, whatever you have in your local area, you know, those little electric scooters, home from a soccer game. And I went straight into a liquor store wall and fell with the scooter on top of me. And there was a lot of bruises and not a lot of blood, honestly, to be honest. It was not as much blood as I deserve to have for the kind of incident that I have, but I really messed up my knee. And now I'm walking like a total gimp. And anytime anybody asks me about it, I have to be like, oh, I had a scooter incident.
Well, it's only embarrassing if people saw you. So,
oh, there were people.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, including my boyfriend, who had turned around and watched the whole thing happen.
Oh, like, no.
Oh my God, Lauren, really?
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, well. You know, we made it. You made it.
I don't think I will ever live it down, to be honest. But okay, yeah.
Okay, the next one, and this is very on brand for me, but what is your favorite frozen pizza?
Oh my gosh, this is on brand for you. And you're totally going to hate because it's not cheese. But I love frozen cauliflower crust pizzas from Target.
You're not the first person that has said cauliflower. It's incorrect, but you're not the first.
It's incorrect. Yeah. And they're from Target because I feel better about myself when I eat them, and I do a low carb lifestyle. So they fit with my brand, Martha.
Perfect. Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Okay, so this last one, I think you'll have a really great answer for, but it is, what does human connection mean to you?
Ooh, I like the question. This is so funny coming from someone who helps people build online businesses, but I think true human connection comes in person. And feeling each other's like energy and vibes and hearing common experiences and relating them to each other. So that can happen online. Absolutely. We're doing it right now. But I think that the true human connection really comes from being in person and being in someone else's presence.
That's very interesting that you said that. Would you say you had that more in your corporate life or more now, the connection? Because in your corporate job, you were with people all the time, I assume, but now you do live the entrepreneur lifestyle and you know, there are ways to get that connection, but it's maybe not as easy as going to work and seeing the same amount of people every day.
Yeah. What I think is really interesting about that is human connection also means like being who you are and being yourself. And so, yes, I would go into a corporate environment and I would be around people, but I wasn't being me. I was being a version of me, like the version I needed to be at work. And I feel like now, when even though I'm not, you know, surrounded by people every day, and honestly, I'm an introvert, so that's preferred. But I am myself and I am fully and authentically me, and like take it or leave it. And there's no kind of quote unquote consequence that comes with that. I mean, you either want to work with me or you don't want to work with me. And if you don't want to work with me, you're not my people. And that's really empowering. And to me also feels like true connection. Like if I'm working with a client, they know me and I know them. It's not this facade or this mask that we put on for our coworkers when we go to work.
I love that, because there is such a facade, and I think maybe that's why I have a hard time like doing well in the corporate world. Just because I just feel like I am, you know, I'm there to do the job that I was hired to do and I'm there to do it well, but I am not there to do anything else. Like, you really are just like money to them. Like, what really bothers me is that some people in my company refer to consultants as resources. And I was like, no. They're not resources. They are people. That's awful to me. Like, that just was mind-blowing to me that, like, people are so not thought of in, you know, big companies. Like, I work for a big company. You worked for a big company. It's just such a different environment.
Yeah. And you know what's really interesting, and I'll share this if anybody's, you know, watching or not watching, listening and thinking, okay, hey, I want to quit my corporate job. Okay, I've made my list. I've made the decision. I want to go down the route of entrepreneurship, but corporate feels secure and I care about corporate and corporate will miss me. I quit my job and I'd worked there for 5 years. It's like basically quitting a career in the oil and gas industry. And I had people that had been friends at work that stopped speaking to me because I was no longer a part of that corporate culture. Like I was no longer like one of them. So it's just really interesting to think about like how much you care about your company versus how much they care about you and how replaceable you are really. And I mean, I don't want to spend the rest of my life doing something that is replaceable.
Off the top of your head, you know, if someone is listening to this and they're like, yep, cool, that's, I'm finally waking up. Like, I realize that there is a problem with my job. I feel like I'm not connecting to my authentic self. What are maybe the top three things that like millennials, like people in that 20 to 30 age range need to know about, you know, making the next step or, you know, knowing that it's okay to feel this way? Just like three things off the top of your head that you think are super important for people to get out of this podcast.
Well, one, you're in the right place. You're thinking these things for a reason. You know, I mean, you're thinking that you want to do something different and that's okay. And that's normal. Like, first of all, 100% that's normal. Two, the fear is 100% normal. Like, if you're not afraid in that transition, I don't feel like you're human. So that's like a not really a helpful comment, but it's still a comment. But things that you would need to know. So I would say that if you're going to take some actions, I would get really clear on who you are, who you serve, and how you help them if they're talking about creating an online business. And honestly, I would probably, if you're in a corporate and you're thinking about this, chances are you're probably learning a lot. You're consuming a lot of information. You're probably maybe attending some webinars. You're on a lot of people's email lists and you're getting all of this info on how to do it the quote unquote right way. There is no right way. There's a right way for you. So if you want to get clear on what kind of people do you want to work with, so you're not trying to serve everyone, you've got to niche down if you're starting an online business, but also what kind of container are you available for to serve them? So what I mean by container is, say you are an introvert and you are talking about creating a speaking business at live events with lots of people. Like, that might not work out so well for you because you're constantly traveling, being surrounded by people, and like, you're an introvert and that drains you. Do you know what I mean? So I would get really clear on like, okay, what are my strengths? What are my not even my strengths, but my preferences? How are my strengths and my preferences going to match up to the quote unquote container that I want to host or do my business in? And then who do I want to help and how can I serve them?
Why is starting your own business like so attractive for many people? Because I think we sort of alluded to it. Maybe there's more freedom. Maybe there's, you know, being more self. But like, what is maybe the top reason that you started your own business? And I can talk about mine too after you go.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I had always wanted to start my own business. It was always something that I was going to do one day, which is so interesting because both of my parents are entrepreneurs, but culturally what's expected of a college graduate is to go down the corporate route. So that's what I did. That's what I should have done. And so it's really funny. Like, I've started a business in another area and then transitioned into the space that I'm in now because I want to help women like me, like you, Martha, like stop doing what they think that they should do and live the lives that they're meant for. And that's usually not in corporate if you're having these desires to start something different. So I think that the thing that really kind of tipped me over the edge or made me finally go do the thing, which is, I think, the, you know, the core of the question was, is I got just like so sick of my own shit. Like, year after year doing the same thing, not making any changes and being like, there's an Anais Nin quote that says, I'm going to totally butcher it, but that the pain of remaining tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. And that quote like totally embodies my like leap and the net will appear of entrepreneurship.
That's great. I think that's super important. And like super relevant because my answer is a little bit different, but I was really like, okay, what, you know, I know that I'm not going to quit my job tomorrow. I know that it's going to be a slow transition out of my corporate job. I wanted to do something that was like really fun for me and really sustainable. Like, podcasts are fairly easy to churn out. I just have to think of things to talk about, which isn't that hard. I can talk for days and days.
For you though, see what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Like, I can do that.
For me. Not all the time. I can get burned out, but something that's like sustainable and fun and where I can meet other people and teach other people. So what really helped me try to figure out what I want is to just do like a deep dive. Like, what do I enjoy about my current job? Because you don't have to completely hate your job. There are probably some positive parts of your job that you like.
Totally.
So like, what am I good at? And like, what kind of things do I like to do outside of work? What kind of things am I interested in? So if you think that, you know, you're not good at anything and you'll never find anything to do, that's incorrect. I promise you that. But if you are, you know, in need of extra support, we have Lauren here for you. So she can, you know, what are some of your favorite resources besides yourself, obviously?
I think that there's a lot of other, you know, resources out there that are available in the form of like books. My favorite of all time is You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero, which is the yellow one, says badass on it. You've probably seen it everywhere books are sold. And it really gets you to think about, okay, you are here for a reason. What is that reason? And to get deep with yourself instead of letting your day go by every single day, doing the same thing, being freaking miserable.
So, okay, we know that you left your job and we know that you're super happy and successful now, but really, what was that transition like?
Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of like entrepreneur success porn that tells you that you can sit by a beach and have your laptop on your legs, which by the way would give you a terrible tan line. So, I mean, whatever. But you can sit on a beach and drink pina coladas and work on your business. And that is possible. But for me, it wasn't like, okay, quit. And now I'm like living that laptop life. For me, it was, okay, I'm going to look at my financial situation and I'm going to see what I can do in order to make and save enough money to make this realistically possible where I don't put so much pressure on my business to succeed immediately. And some people can just quit and do it. And honestly, all the power to you. Kind of wish I would have done that, but I didn't. So what I did was I picked, I was up in my corporate role or in my corporate environment for 3 years. And we have rotations in my corporate job. So I was up for a rotation, which basically means you're getting a new position within the company. And I was offered two different positions. So one of them was, I was living in Houston at the time. So one of them was in Houston, was $20,000 more per year, skipping a pay grade, which is like such corporate speak. And doing this thing that I didn't necessarily love to do, but I was really freaking good at. And I was like, it was supposed to be an honor to get offered this position because it wasn't like in the natural ladder progression of what I was supposed to be doing. And I was so freaking excited about it when I first got it because I was like, oh, look at me. I got a job that I'm not supposed to get because I'm the best. Like, right? Like your ego totally kicks in. And then I kind of went home and did that exercise of like, okay, what does that path look like at the end of the day? Like, so if I stay in Houston, okay, what does that next role look like? What does that next role look like? And being like, oh, there's literally nothing that I'm excited about. Like 20 years from now, like I will still be living in Houston. I'll be really rich and really miserable. So I was like, okay, how can I position myself to leave, but leave with a lot of money? Like, I know that sounds so crass, but that's what I felt like I needed in order to like, you know, draw the line in the sand and say, this is the date that I'm leaving. So there was another position that would move me back to California, which is what I wanted. I wanted to move back to California. It was a position where I got to work from home in a sales capacity and build up some skills that I could actually use in my own online business. And I was like, okay, the price difference or the cost, you know, my salary difference is $20,000. The happiness difference is immeasurable. So I chose the job that set me up for what I actually wanted out of my life. So I think that there's a lot of people that are going through these transition periods in their life and they're looking at the quick wins versus the long game. And for me, it's even with this entrepreneurial journey, it's looking at the long game and saying like, what do I want to be known for? And how can I set myself up for that in the short term and for the long term? That might not necessarily be the best short term win, but it's the greatest long term gain.
How do you deal with those really, you know, transition periods of your life? Because those have always been a struggle for me. Because you mentioned sort of like moving around a lot, you know, graduating from college, starting your own business. What are some of the ways that you've experienced like, you know, turbulence in transition, let's say, and then what are some of the ways that you deal with it?
Yeah, so this is such an interesting question because I think that, you know, a lot of people have anxiety about big changes and transitions, and rightfully so. But the thing that I like to remember is, and I hope that, you know, when, as I say this about myself, reflect and use it for yourself. Like, when in my life have I ever been able to predict an outcome? Like, if I were in high school and I was like, this is what I'm going to do with my life, and I would have guessed like 5 years or 10 years out, the life that I imagined for myself 10 years out of high school, like I'm not living that life. I wasn't living that life 10 years out of high school. Like I was like, I had a 0% chance of accuracy, like 0% accuracy. So why do we think that we're going to be so good at predicting our future when we literally have 0% accuracy in predicting our current situation? So for me, it's really around like, okay, I realize that I have complete control and zero control all at the same time, and choosing to see that as a beautiful thing versus an extremely stressful thing.
I'm not there yet. I believe that if I do not have complete control, my life will be in shambles.
Control is an illusion. You don't have complete control.
I hate it.
Complete control.
I hate it. No.
I know. It's definitely an interesting place to get to, but I think that there's a lot of power in making that realization. Like, if it's meant to be for me, and I think that's a lot of where spirituality kind of comes in for me too. And it's like, I refer to it as universe or source. God's a little loaded for me, but you know, like, everything is happening for me, not to me. And like, for example, I live in Minnesota right now. I'm born and raised in California, and we just went through a snowpocalypse, but I was meant to be here for some reason. Maybe the women I met, maybe the clients that I had, maybe like whatever that reason was, I was meant to be here. And am I meant to be here forever? I don't think so. Hope not. It's freaking cold here. But like, choosing to believe that I'm here for a reason has been really helpful with those turbulent transitions.
Oh, that's great. I think that's really good advice. Just, you know, life comes at you fast, but you'll make it out on the other side.
Yeah, we will. Unlike the common thing that we were told as children, like, life sucks, then you die. Like, I choose not to believe that about life.
I was going to like start quoting Ferris Bueller, but I thought I should stop. So, cool. So if we loved listening to you talk, and I sure did, where can we find you, and how can, you know, you help some of our listeners?
So you can find me on the daily at Created Future Academy on Instagram. I am there all the time. You can see my beautiful shining face on my stories. And I'm also on Facebook, but less regularly, at the same place, Created Future Academy. And my website is the same name.
Thank you so much to Lauren for coming on the show. If you want to get in touch with her, all of her information will be in the show notes. And a really fun thing that is coming up, Lauren is actually hosting a retreat in Bali in November. So make sure to check that out, because it looks freaking amazing. I mean, why wouldn't you want to go to Bali for a week? I don't know. I can't think of a reason why, but... But anyway, I will see you next week on the Shit You Need to Know podcast. And there are only a few more interviews left before me and Colby take over the show. Have a good week. Thanks for listening to the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I've set up a phone number in case you have a question you need answering or just want to talk. Feel free to give me a ring at 301-941-7448. That's 301-941-SHIT. Also, don't give me a ring. No one does that. You can text the number too. I don't know why I said ring. If you enjoyed this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast, feel free to subscribe on iTunes and rate it 5 stars.